The verdict is in for a mother on trial of the murder of her young son. A jury finding Lacey Spears guilty today of poisoning her son with salt.
Guys, we're finally gonna do it. This is Brandon, by the way. We're finally gonna discuss my favorite disorder, the one that comes up in the true crime world all the time. We're gonna talk about Munchausen syndrome by proxy. I first learned about this bizarre and twisted disorder from Bill Curtis in an episode of American Justice a long time ago. And then I read about it in the book Sharp Objects by Gillian Flynn. And then in 2019, we were treated to The Act on Hulu, which of course is the true story of Dee Dee and Gypsy Rose Blanchard, starring Patricia Arquette as Dee and Joey King as Gyp. And let me just tell you, the three of us were glued to our TVs during that show. And we talked about it all the time, did we not?
And still send each other pictures and texts about it.
Yes. Yeah, my favorite thing was I went to the vet around that time, and I came back with a bunch of pill bottles. So I just posted a picture of Patricia Arquette standing over a bunch of pills from the show and said, well, just been to the vet.
Every single person should have watched that show.
Oh my God.
And if you haven't, watch it.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a sad and troubling story, but it's like, it's one of those that's just almost too much that it's comical and it's hard not to, yeah. You should watch it. So let's talk about Munchausen syndrome and Munchausen syndrome by proxy. This is the WebMD definition. And since WebMD has never failed me, other than the 12 times it told me I had brain tumors, I trust them as a source for this podcast. Munchausen syndrome by proxy is a psychological disorder marked by attention-seeking behavior by a caregiver through those who are in their care. Munchausen syndrome by proxy is a relatively rare disorder. It affects a primary caregiver, often the mother. The person with MSP gains attention by seeking medical help for exaggerated or made-up symptoms of a child in their care. As healthcare providers strive to identify what's causing the child's symptoms, the deliberate actions of the parent or caretaker can often make the symptoms worse. The person with MSP does not seem to be motivated by a desire for any type of material gain. I find that not accurate. While healthcare providers are often unable to identify the specific cause of the child's illness, they may not suspect the parent or caretaker of doing anything to harm the child. In fact, the caretaker often appears to be very loving and caring and extremely distraught over their child's illness. People with the disorder may create or exaggerate a child's symptoms in several ways. They may simply lie about symptoms, alter tests, such as contaminating a urine sample, falsify medical records, or they may actually induce symptoms through various means, such as poisoning, suffocating, starving, and causing infection. Often we also see the caregivers force physical changes on the victim, even shaving their heads and using unneeded assistance like wheelchairs and crutches. Munchausen syndrome by itself is related, but this is when the person feigns illness themselves, often for emotional and financial gain. Cancer is a pretty common illness used by those with the disorder. While Munchausen by proxy doesn't exactly come with symptoms, there are some common characteristics that those with Munchausen and Munchausen by proxy display. They include being a parent or caregiver, normally a mother. They're very friendly and cooperative with healthcare providers, often going the extra mile to help. They're also often healthcare professionals themselves, nurses' aides. They also appear overly concerned about their child, rushing to the hospital for things mild as a sniffle. I think it's safe to say that Dee Dee and Gypsy are now officially the most publicized case of Munchausen syndrome by proxy, but there are other cases out there, including those that reach far deeper with a much higher body count. And we're going to discuss some of those today with some extra focus on the big one. So let's start there. The case of Mary Beth Tenning is definitely one of the most fatal and puzzling cases of the disorder. Between 1967 and 1985, Mary Beth gave birth to 9 children in Schenectady, New York, and buried every single one of them. Some of the deaths came within 9 months of their births. Since I've already started this, I should just say that, you know, this is going to be talking about a lot of child deaths. Unfortunately, that's what this disorder usually includes. So in January of 1972, Mary Beth's 8-day-old daughter, Jennifer, died of acute meningitis. This was an actual natural death. It's the only natural death. And that death gave Mary Beth an outpouring of sympathy and attention from friends and family. She was a nurse's aide, so she was used to giving all the attention herself. She liked being on the other side of things. And her husband was a distant and cold man, so she definitely wasn't getting attention from him. I mean, beyond the many times he impregnated her, obviously. But 3 weeks later, as the attention had died down, Mary Beth rushed her son Joseph to the emergency room. The 2-year-old was pronounced dead shortly after arrival. Doctors were unsure of the cause of death, but ruled it as a viral infection that led to a seizure. At this point in time, the name Munchausen syndrome or Munchausen by proxy hadn't even been coined. Medical professionals had no idea such a homicidal motive even existed. And the outpouring of sympathy and attention resumed. Mary Beth was hooked. And 6 weeks later, she was starving for more attention. Mary Beth's 4-year-old daughter, Barbara, died suddenly. And 3 deaths only weeks apart from each other finally raised some flags. The hospital staff became suspicious enough to notify the police. But after a doctor ruled Barbara's death as cardiac arrest, medical staff and police backed down. It would appear that scared Mary Beth a bit because it took 1.5 years for another incident to happen. 2-week-old Timothy was taken to the hospital for what Mary Beth called a mysterious illness. The baby died shortly after arrival. This time, doctors listed the cause of death as sudden infant death syndrome, which is often what Munchausen by proxy deaths are ruled as because there's just no answer. 2 years later, 5-month-old Nathan was rushed to the hospital after Mary Beth claimed he stopped breathing while she was driving him around in the car. Doctors couldn't figure out a cause of death again, so they listed it as acute pulmonary. And for 3.5 years, the Tinning children were safe. During this time, now brace yourselves, they even adopted a baby, and they named him Michael. She somehow allowed to adopt. Then in October of 1978, Mary Beth gave birth to her 6th child, Mary Frances. In January 1979, Mary Frances was rushed to the ER after Mary Beth said she had a seizure. Hospital staff were actually able to save Mary Frances, but 2 weeks later, she was brought back to the hospital, but didn't make it out this time. The Tinning's 8th child was born that fall. He died less than 6 months later. This is exhausting to even talk about. Like, I can't believe this actually happened. Like, it's just death, death after death after death. Like, and she just keeps having kids, and it's exhausting. But I'm gonna move on. Before February 1981, it was starting to look like maybe the Tinning's genetics were just bad, because adopted child Michael was doing just fine, but then he fell down the stairs and died. Mary Beth didn't conceive another child until August 1985. That was child number 9. Her name was Tammy Lynn. Apparently, Mary Beth was bored with figuring out ways to make her kid's death look accidental, because this time she just smothered the baby to death. Police finally decided to make a move. Mary Beth confessed to killing Tammy, and she also claimed responsibility for the deaths of Nathan and Timothy. And in July 1987, she was convicted of second-degree murder and sentenced to 20 years to life. She is paroled in 2018 at the age of 75. She actually went home to her husband, believe it or not. And a neighbor told People magazine that since her parole, Mary Beth has been lying low. Though now a free woman, Mary Beth still has rules to follow as part of her parole. Under the terms of her release, she has to check in with a parole officer for the rest of her life. She also has a curfew and must participate in domestic violence counseling. And thank God she's too old to have any more children.
This is truly unbelievable.
I know. It doesn't sound real, does it?
No. She had and killed that many kids?
9.
It's like, I have so much to say, but at the same time, it's hard to even know what to say.
Yeah, a prolific,
so shocking and sick.
Literally would be considered a prolific serial killer.
Why was she paroled?
I don't know. Why was she only convicted of second degree murder? Like, it just makes no sense. And I never deep dive in trials. I know I should, but who knows?
This is crazy to me, but it also triggered something. I'm trying to find it online, but my memory is not very good. So I can't think of enough details to look it up. So maybe it'll trigger someone's in the audience's memory. When SIDS was first being studied, a doctor started following this woman who had at least 5 children who had all died of SIDS. And he used that case study to make his case that SIDS was maybe genetic. Then it turned out that she had actually smothered all her children. This was in, I want to say, the 40s or 50s, maybe. But the doctor, when he found out what she had done, had actually covered up that part of it and still published his research.
Oh my God.
And it set back SIDS research for a really long time.
Wow.
And like I said, I'm blanking on the name of the person. So I'm hoping one of our audience members is a really good sleuth and can update me on that, because I would be really interested to rewatch that.
Yeah, for sure. Because I didn't know anything like this predated Mary Beth. Now I'm going to talk about Hope Yabara. To say Hope Yabara was a dramatic person was putting it lightly. The former Texas chemist and mother of 3 very publicly documented her own battle with cancer in a blog that included things like her picking out the colors of her casket. And after 3 bouts of cancer, Hope was a Texas media regular. Her community gathered around her and applauded her bravery. On top of her cancer, Hope's youngest daughter was also battling a number of ailments, according to Hope. Hope was getting a lot of attention and financial assistance and gifts. Suspicions finally arose around 2010, and it was discovered that she had never had cancer 1 time, much less 3. And her daughter was never actually sick, aside from the time she injected her with stolen pathogens that caused her daughter to go into anaphylactic shock. Hope received a 10-year sentence in 2010 for inflicting bodily injury on a child after confessing that she did poison her youngest daughter, and that she used nasal spray on her daughter to effect tests for cystic fibrosis. Hope was quoted as saying, "Obviously, I was hurting her, but I wasn't trying to." Like, how were you not trying to hurt her, you know? This one I found interesting because she actually stole pathogens from her job. Like, that's going the extra mile. You're a chemist, and you're going to infect your child with actual pathogens. And I'm so glad that the kid did not die because of it. And I've seen Hope on a lot of documentaries. She's very distinguishable. If you've seen her, you'll know. But she's no Mary Beth, that's for sure. Another Munchausen mom was Tanya Reed. Tanya decided to become a nurse after she earned attention as a child for saving another kid who had stopped breathing. In 1984, Tanya's daughter Morgan died after being treated for sleep apnea. Doctors believed the 9-month-old Morgan died of sudden infant death syndrome. When Tanya had a second child, the same thing began happening. Her son Brandon was sent to this hospital many times with sleep apnea and seizures that only occurred when she wasn't around. After hospital officials grew suspicious, Tanya was investigated and the prosecutors reviewed the first baby's autopsy. They found brain damage consistent with what is now known as shaking baby syndrome or shaken baby syndrome. I hate that term, but Tanya was convicted of felony abuse of her son and murder of her daughter. An appeals court actually overturned the murder conviction. For some reason, I just don't understand these outcomes. And it seems Munchausen syndrome by proxy has really picked up since the internet has become widely used. Lacey Spears was actually a well-known and beloved mommy blogger who documented her son Garnet's many ailments. The Kentucky mom ended up with thousands of followers on social media. Many would send gifts and money and were always ready to be there when Lacey posted a new blog outlining her son's latest illness. This went on for years until 2014 when Garnet suddenly died. Of course, Lacey didn't miss the chance to get some attention on the internet, but an autopsy showed that Garnet died from toxic amounts of sodium in his bloodstream. It turns out that she had been putting salt into Garnet's feeding tube. When his feeding bag was inspected, it contained the equivalent of 69 packets of salt. Lacey's fans and supporters were shocked to learn she had been poisoning her 5-year-old son with toxic amounts of salt. during her trial, it was stated that death by assault is particularly painful and that the boy clearly spent his final days in agony. Lacey was sentenced to 20 years of life for second-degree murder of her son. Once again, not enough time.
Oh my God. These stories make my blood boil.
Yeah.
That story was an ID Channel special. I remember watching it a few months ago.
Yeah.
And the internet and social media has absolutely accelerated this crazy disorder.
Yeah.
There's no way it hasn't.
For sure.
What is it about, like, some of the cases you mentioned, almost all of them, actually, if not all, what is it about these cases or about these people where they get, like, that one little boost of attention that does something in their brains?
Yeah, like, often it's because they're in the medical field and they get accolades for saving somebody, or they do actually have a sick child at one point. And it's crazy. Like, I'm so fascinated by it. Like, I often make light of it, but I don't mean to. I just mean it's, like, so fascinating to me. And the people who have this disorder, I don't even like calling it a disorder, but
they're beyond sick. The people that would do this to their children. I don't even know what to say. It makes me so mad. I can't even speak.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
The lady I was talking about earlier, her name is Juanita. I'm not sure how it's pronounced because it's spelled weird. Hoyt. She was arrested in 1994 and convicted of killing all five of her biological children.
Oh, so it wasn't like the 40s?
It was, the span of her crimes was 1965 to 71.
Oh, so she got caught that much later.
Yeah. For more than 20 years, it was believed that the babies had died of SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. 7 years after the death of their last child, the Hoyts adopted a child who remained healthy throughout childhood and was 17 when his mother was arrested in 1994. The last two biological children, Molly and Noah, were subjects of pediatric research that was conducted by Dr. Alfred Stein Schneider, who published an article in 1972 in the journal Pediatrics proposing a connection between sleep apnea and SIDS. The article was later discredited and subsequent research failed to replicate results. All this research on SIDS was invalidated because this woman killed her kids and it was claimed that it was SIDS.
Wow. So, of course, we can't skip over actually discussing Dee Dee Blanchard and Gypsy Rose. As most of us know after watching the documentaries and Hulu series on the case, Dee Dee Blanchard was a single mom who insisted her daughter suffered from leukemia, muscular dystrophy, and many other ailments throughout the years. She even forced Gypsy to use a wheelchair in public. For a long time, Gypsy believed she was actually sick, but then she was forced to get in on the act, even being made to let her mom shave her head. But Gypsy met a boy on the internet and decided she had enough of her mom and her fake ailments. So they killed Dee Dee. This is the only case I know of that the victim actually got out alive, and the mother ended up being the one who paid the ultimate price. Now, this case is a hard one to understand because Gypsy was the victim of that woman's madness for most of her life. So she felt like the only way out was to kill Dee Dee. And there's a big part of me that thinks Gypsy shouldn't even be in prison right now. I think if she had showed more remorse and hadn't actually celebrated so much to be free of her mom, it may have looked better on her.
Gypsy absolutely would have ultimately ended up dead by her mother.
Yeah, exactly. That's why, she's lucky that her mom didn't end up killing her by like overdoing the act, you know, that they were trying to pull off. She's so lucky that she made it all those years. And so that's so hard for me to even like understand why she's still incarcerated. What do you guys think about that?
Well, it's like you said, it's hard to even think about or try to understand. I mean, granted, you know, she killed her mom, or the boyfriend killed her mom, and she was part of it. And she knew what was happening, but she suffered extreme psychological, emotional, and physical abuse by her mom. It's been a while since I've watched the act, but wasn't she even given treatment for cancer while not having cancer?
Yeah. And she had a feeding tube and she didn't need it. She didn't need any of that.
She had
her teeth pulled. Like she
She even had her teeth pulled when she didn't need her teeth pulled. I mean, that's sick.
Yeah, that was, she was tortured slowly and over time. She was tortured in every way possible. And yeah, it's a very hard one to wrap your head around.
There's definitely a case there for self-defense.
Yeah, I agree. And honestly, like, I think, you know, like you said, she thought her only way out was to kill her mother, which if you really deep dive into the Dee and Jip saga, that probably is the only way she could have got out.
Yeah.
And she also did it with the only tools she had at her disposal. She had been manipulated, tortured, and abused. That's the only way she knew how to get the job done, is to manipulate someone else into doing it. I mean, it's not an excuse for how it was done, but I mean, you got to work with the tools that you're given. And forever, she thought she wasn't even physically capable of walking.
Right.
So,
and who knows what those medications did to her brain that she didn't even need.
Right.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think that, you know, they found like video of whatever them celebrating and having sex and stuff and right after. And I think that's probably what really changed, you know, soured a lot of people on her. But
yeah.
I still think I could overlook that I feel like what Dee Dee did was far worse.
I mean, if anything, time served. That girl has served her time.
Yeah, I wonder when she's going to get out. I haven't checked on that. I don't even know what her sentence was, but it's too much. The guy, sure, he did it. He shouldn't have done it. She asked him to do it. Okay, but he shouldn't have done it. So he gets what he deserves. But to me, for her, I just think she's fine. She's not going to do anything else. She needs to finally have a life.
And like these other people we discussed, like the first woman, I don't remember how long she was there, but she's out.
And
Gypsy is there, and Gypsy was the one that was actually tortured by that woman.
Yeah, didn't kill anyone, just asked someone to, while Mary Beth killed 9 children. But it's
unbelievable.
It really is. And it reminds me of a story I knew from when I was a child. There was a guy that went to school with my sister, and he actually murdered his mom. It's one of the very few murders in my little town. And his case was, and his friends knew this as well, that she actually sexually abused him like his whole life. And he, as a teenager, he had finally had enough, and he killed her. And I think her body laid in the house for a while and all that. I mean, it's kind of a sensational story for that area. But he served time, but he is out now. I think he got out, you know, maybe after 10 or 15. So I think there was some consideration taken into that. While it wasn't like, you know, instant self-defense because nothing was happening at that moment, I think that there's some understanding there that this was just something that you were driven to do. It's sad.
I don't remember you ever telling me about that before.
That's because I totally forgot about it until I was working on this case. And if you forgive me, I'm losing my voice. And until I was working on this case. And I've decided to mention it.
If Nurse Annie Wilkes from Misery had a kid, she would have definitely done this to the kid.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was her. She had Munchausen syndrome by proxy, right? I mean, she was an angel of death or whatever. I feel like that's what, I don't think it was ever stated, but that's probably what that was.
Seems likely that that's what it was.
Yeah, yeah. Killing patients and maybe she wasn't getting sympathy for it though, unless she was bringing them back. I know there are some nurses that induce, you know.
Yeah, there are nurses and paramedics too that love to do that.
Yeah.